Good morning and welcome everyone to Live Dharma Sunday for May 8th, 2016. Koyo Kubose here. So very glad you joined us on this Mother's Day. Oh boy. Second Sunday in May. And of course there's a whole history of how Mother's Day originated as a holiday. But for the occasion, I want to share so many nice things on the internet. There's a 21-day challenge hosted by kingspring.org, kindspring.org. This is a 21-day reverence challenge, and it's actually day 14 of a 21-day challenge, and every day, participants on the internet have signed up to participate. And the one for today says, Connect to a Mother's Spirit. That's the title. Starts out with a quote, The only way love can last a lifetime is if it's unconditional. The truth is this, love is not determined by the one being loved, but rather by the one choosing to love. Stephen Kendrick. And then the text says, Connect to a mother's spirit, whether biological or chosen, youthful in spirit, or wizened by experience, a mother's true nourishment that stems from unconditional love. In over 80 countries around the globe, today is a day to honor the maternal figure in our lives. So reflect on someone who reminds you of the word motherly love. Think of that person and do one thing today in her or his spirit, whether preparing a hearty meal for others or being sure to eat a balanced diet yourself, whether offering your Subway seat to someone else or invisibly stepping in to fill a need. Sink into those small acts of selfless love inspired by the presence of our nurturing mentors and supporters. So I'm signed up for this challenge. And I was reminded of that first quote. Remind me of the St. Francis, quite a few lines, but one of the lines says, May I love rather than be loved. That's what they're talking about. On the other, not from one's own ego, selfish concern. The important thing is, of course, St. Francis so says, talking to God. God, may you help me to love rather than be loved, to understand rather than be understood. And then there's, you know, so many lines like that. But if I can say so, from a Buddhist perspective, indeed, it's looking inward, not putting the basis inward toward empathy and understanding and loving, rather than, you know, receiving. Self-reflection to realize these things, to connect beyond one's narrow definition of self and so forth. And this reminds me of the Nikon approach. Nikon is a word that says, Nai means inner, and Kan, N-A-I-K-A-N. Kan is reflection. Kan means inner reflection. And basically, what this method, which comes from Japan, and it has a history and so forth, and a founder, but there are various people who are certified to teach this and have centers in the United States. Greg Creech has a book called Nikon, and he has a Todo, T-O-D-O, Todo Institute in Vermont. He's a student of David Reynolds, who did a lot of work, went to Japan and studied Nikon therapy and Morita therapy and different Chinese psychologies. But the Nikon, the point has been made that it reflects the Jodo Shinshu root or basis. And it's primarily learning about gratitude. Well, it says three questions, three basic questions. And the reason I thought of this is because when you go to a Nikon retreat, it's a structured retreat where you have certain times where you're just by yourself and you reflect on one of the exercises is you reflect on your mother. This is a very common beginning place. And you ask three questions to yourself. And the first question is, well, what did you receive from her? Think of all the things you received from her that she did for you. Okay? Since you were real little. And okay. Then the second question is, what have you given back to her? What did you do for her? So this is sort of a asset liability sort of, or kind of like an accounting, what you received and what you gave. And usually they received a lot, but they didn't give back too much. And the third question is, think about what kind of troubles and difficulties that you caused. This is the most difficult one. Now, there's nothing here about intentions or motivations. It's just a simple, objective kind of accounting. Well, you may not have meant to, or she didn't really do it for you. She was just being herself and things like this. Okay. And this can be a very emotional experience. And Nikon applies these three basic questions to many different topics. But as I said, interpersonal ones, very common procedure. They start with the mother, and then you report. The classical way of doing it is you sit quietly and you think of these for a certain structured period, and then there's a listener, and you're on a different part of a screen, on the other side of a screen. And that person just listens, and you report the result of your self-reflection. There's no dialogue. There's not a social situation. You're not even, can't see the person, but you know the person there. So I will receive your Nikon reflections in order to express feelings that you had about these three questions. And as I said, I've experimented and led these kinds of on a workshop once for a conference where we only had an hour, and I gave a presentation, and I just sort of described what I just said, and then a group of about, 30, 40 people in a conference room, and then we turned on the lights, and they faced the wall, and then I had a bell, and I repeated the first question, and I rang the bell, and I said, do that until I ring the bell. And I only gave them about 10 minutes on each question. It was the first time I ever did this. Boy, Kleenex was coming out from purses and, then afterwards, we got into small groups, and whoever wanted to share, they shared their experience. Because there's a way in which, whether your mother is living or not, that you could give back. Okay, this Nikon sounds. sounds like it might generate some guilt, but it's healthy guilt in a sense, because you could give back, whether she's living or not, by becoming a certain kind of person, completing your, going along the spiritual path and so forth. Okay? It's a matter of self-awareness. And the last thing I wanted to share on this topic was, again, from the internet, but there was an article that said, 7 keys to a good death. How to create conditions for a good death. And one of the items involves, okay, this is how to die well. Okay, this growth experience, the last growth experience in the terminal, or when you're helping someone that's terminal. This item is recognize and resolve interpersonal conflicts. And a lot of times, parent-child relationships are, will become estranged and so forth. The I love yous that were never expressed and so forth. Dr. Ira Block wrote in his book, 4 Things That Matter Most. And he says, there are 4 basic messages a person needs to communicate at the end of life. And here are the 4. I love you. Second one, thank you. Forgive you. And the 4th one, please forgive me. And it says, these are a good start. A good death creates a space for people to say those words. So I'm learning a lot, and a lot to think about for sure. Well, today, I don't know what a Dharma Glimpse is going to be about. The person to give a Dharma Glimpse today is John Mio, and his Dharma name is Mio, which is M-I-Y-O, and of course the Y-O, the Yo, is the bright dawn, the sun, physical sun, S-U-N. The me is green. So his Dharma name is Green Sun, Mio, because he's a very ecological person. And green, of course, can be a symbol for freshness, new spring, new growth. There could be a lot of lessons in a person's Dharma name to renew, to inspire, and so forth. And John Mio lives in Illinois, Central Illinois, and he was part of the first lay minister group to go through the program, LM1, that completed it. So without further ado, let us hear from John Mio.
I have a toilet in my house, which really shouldn't surprise anyone except my brother, who keeps asking me whether I've moved into my Unabomber cabin yet and how my manifesto is going. But that's brothers. Sometimes you just have to shake it off and laugh at them. But I bring up my porcelain euphemism because it doesn't work right. The mechanism in the back sticks, so the ball that floats to the top to signal the tank is full and cuts off the flow of water doesn't actually cut off the flow of water. The tank keeps filling indefinitely, and the water drains into the overflow pipe and drives up our water bill and wastewater and constantly makes that running water sound. For various reasons, including being broke, we don't want to hire a plumber to come and fix it. And for various other reasons, including mechanical ineptitude, I don't want to buy a repair kit at the hardware store, although I did investigate them, and gut the thing and repair it myself. So my wife took a wire clothes hanger, bent it, hooked the metal arm on the ball, and used the hanger to lift the ball to where it stopped the tank. Problem solved. That now, after you flush, you have to stand in the bathroom and wait for the toilet to fill so you can hook the ball. It takes 3 minutes for my tank to fill. I know this because I timed it. Boring it is to watch a toilet fill. I timed a toilet filling just for something to do. I'm not going to name any names, but my wife, my daughter, and I have each developed our own methods of dealing with this problem of waiting for it to fill, and we each find the other methods infuriating. One of us copes by just not flushing. One of us flushes, but doesn't replace the hanger, just wanders off and lets the toilet run, totally negating the point of having the hanger in the first place. This person claims to get busy brushing teeth or leaves to perform some other task and plans to come back, then just forgets to go back and replace the hanger. The third one of us just never removes the hanger to let the tank fill in the first place. So the next person has to wait 3 minutes for the tank to fill, flush, and then, ideally, 3 minutes for the tank to fill in order to replace the hanger. Of course, never happens. Okay, some of you may be able to travel the path of sages and say, just mindfully watch the toilet and then replace the hanger. I bow to you. I've tried that sometimes. It lasts two flushes. I've never been able to beat the two flush mark. What I have realized from this is that we're all, and not just my own family, annoying as hell. Or to put more spiritually, we're all bonbu, foolish beings, and we're going to get annoyed and annoy others, and we need to learn to just shake it off and laugh at it. And that means that I'm as screwed up as everyone I meet, and they're as screwed up as I am, which makes it hard for me to judge and feel superior, except for those times when I forget and do judge and feel superior anyway, which I figure is part of being bonbu, so I just try to do better next time, like I do with the toilet. The fill, which I've never beaten the two flush mark, I just try to shake that off and laugh at the failure and try to do better next time, which, you know, like I do with the toilet, which still takes 3 minutes to fill. Namu Amida Butsu. Gesho.
Thank you very much. Wow. Well, you know what I first thought when I heard this topic? Of course, when we think about the bathroom, it's sort of a taboo subject in a way. You know, human waste products. It involves human waste products. But doesn't that topic fit in with unconditional love? You know, that a mother, for example, I could recall, you know, I made a Dharma lesson, toilet gusho, which means when we sit on the pot, I said, well, this is a nice time to, it's usually quiet, you're by yourself, it's a meditative time. And just like we need to eat in order to live, we need to have excretion process in order to live too. Otherwise, the toxic waste substances from the food, if you don't get, body doesn't get rid of it, it's not good for the health. And in the same way, there are toxic waste products from living with others. Things don't go smooth. Resentments build up, grudges, all kind of things. And if you hang on to those, it's not going to be very spiritually healthy. Okay. So I said, well, why don't we introduce toilet gusho? And there was a mother, she shared this with me once when I gave a presentation. Sometimes I talked about toilet gusho, and I got feedback. And one mother said, hey, she does this all the time. She looks to take a look at it, because you could tell by the condition of the stool, you know, the healthiness of it. And of course, whether you're constipated or you have diarrhea or whatever. In fact, at nursing homes and senior places, senior housing places, the staff sometimes they're required to observe and write down the condition of the stools, the clients, the residents' stools. So this is one way to find out about their health, physical health. So this mother was saying, tell her grown children who have children, okay, look at your children's stool. You know, and I say, Ma, yuck, oh my. And she would smile and say, oh, yeah. But it's not a topic that, you know, it's for social conversation, but karma's everywhere. and that's another thought that was in my mind when the topic was introduced, was, wow, we could see the Dharma teachings in all kinds of everyday activities. Huh? That's the underlying important message here, too. No matter what they are, it's a long life. A lot of things happen. Embarrassing things, yucky things, embarrassing things. And like a mother's unconditional love and acceptance, we need to do that in general for ourselves and not be so critical about others. I mean, and the statement was made in the Dharma Glimpse. We get annoyed or we annoy others. That's the two major things. How do we have peace within and harmony with others? That's what the teaching's for. And isn't it interesting how all religions try to bring the teachings into everyday life. And one way to do this is to pair spirituality, let's just call it that, with some everyday common activity that happens every day. Okay. And then if you pair it with that, that's one way, you know, to practice. Okay. So mealtime grace or a blessing is very common. Nobody's going to forget to eat. Okay. And so before you eat, okay, it's contingent upon making a mealtime blessing or grace. And so the point here is, well, extend that same process to other kinds of daily activities. And thus, one of them might be toilet gusho. One might be having to do with driving, answering the telephone, doing house chores, doing this, doing that, brushing teeth, all kinds of things. With true awareness, there's a rich potential of Dharma teachings out there with the right awareness. So let's not take for granted our family, relationships, and it's never too late. You could change the past by how you interpret it in the present. That's all for today's broadcast. Till next time, keep going, and you have a very beautiful day. Thank you.